pray. Father God, we thank you for your many blessings. We thank you for the privilege of being your children and finding that through our relationship with you, our deepest needs are being met. I pray for our Sunday school ministry and for the children and the teachers that you would bless them today and that you would open up the eyes of our young ones to fully grasp your deep love for them. We pray for your blessing upon the remainder of our service. We thank you for this privilege of having gathered here to worship. And I ask now that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in your sight. And this I humbly pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. If I can have you turn, please, to Malachi chapter 3. And just before I read that passage, let me tell you a story about a young boy who one Sunday brought his offering to the church. But when the offering plate was passed by, he let it go by without putting his offering into the plate. Now, after the service was over, he approached the pastor and he gave him his offering. And the pastor asked him why he did not put the money in the plate when it was being passed around. And the boy explained. He said, "My parents said that you are the poorest preacher this church has ever had. I wanted to make sure that you got it. I didn't want to take any chances." Well, poor preaching aside, putting money in the offering plate is an adventure commanded by God and when obeyed is honored by Him. The church family according to God and Christians within the church family can only grow in health and maturity if they participate in the adventure of tithing. Now look at what Malachi chapter 3 verses 6 to 12 say. "I, the Lord God, do not change. So you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty." Now, why would a Christian, why would a child of God not tithe? Well, according to these verses, he would not tithe because he is a thief. He is a robber. Now, these are exacting and painful words. It is certainly a terrible thing to think that a Christian would steal from a store or a bank or a neighbor or a family member, but to steal from God, and yet That is exactly what these verses say. If you do not tithe, you are stealing from God. Are there four men on the roof wanting to let somebody in? Now, this pronouncement that if you are not tithing, you are stealing from God, this kind of announcement or pronouncement should shock us into donating our tithes, and I should be able to now pronounce the benediction, and next week we should receive the single largest offering of the year. But because tithing is such a significant behavior and we are not so easily shocked, I'm going to take the rest of the morning to elaborate. You see, I think there are even more positive reasons and additional motivations for tithing than simply to expunge our criminal record in God's court. And so this morning, I want to answer a few questions, and then I'm going to close with the invitation to join in the adventure of tithing. So some questions. First, what is a tithe? Well, a tithe is the first 10% of our income or increase or profit. The word tithe simply means a tenth. Now, at Oak Ridge Baptist Church, you often hear the phrase, "We'll now receive the tithes and offerings." Well, what is an offering? Well, an offering is any additional or voluntary gift above the tithe. You see, according to God's design for His children, the giving of a 10% tithe is required. But there should also be the giving of additional offering. You see, the tithe is a starting point, and it is the minimum requirement, and offerings are kind of like the icing on the cake, or the sauce on the steak, or the cheese on the macaroni. They are additions that make the adventure of tithing even more exciting and satisfying. Now, the second question is, who is commanded to give the tithe? Well, I've already said it, but it needs to be repeated. God's children are commanded to give the tithe. Now, some, maybe even some of you, may think that the command is given to God's children in the Old Testament, because I just read from the Old Testament. And you may conclude that this does not apply to God's children in the New Testament or to God's children today. But I have to inform you that you would be wrong in that assumption, because Jesus Himself affirmed that the adventure of tithing is perpetual. That is, it remains in effect to this day. Now, I'm going to read this passage, but I encourage you to read it very carefully again later on. Matthew 23, excuse me, verses 23 and 24. Listen very carefully to what it says. Jesus is speaking, and He says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin." Note, at this point, Jesus is acknowledging that they followed the Old Testament law of tithing. So he says, you do follow the Old Testament law of tithing. But, he goes on, you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. Did you catch that? You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. Jesus clearly agrees with and he reinforces the Old Testament law of tithing. They were to tithe and they were to practice justice, mercy, and faithfulness. Now the practice, as you study your New Testament, of the early church also confirms that there was a clear acceptance of the ongoing practice of tithing. And so, are you a child of God? Are you a Christian? Then the Old Testament and Jesus himself expects you to tithe. Now, if you are only exploring Christianity and you do not claim to be a follower of Jesus, then you do not need to tithe. Now, if you wish to, of course, that would be quite wonderful. But the command is given to Christians. Christians are required to tithe. Now, the next question. Where should Christians donate their tithe? Well, according to Malachi 3, God's designated charity is the storehouse. In the Old Testament, the storehouse would have been the temple. In the New Testament, the storehouse would have been the local church. I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And I'm going to read the first three verses. Now, about the collection for God's people, do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. Then when I arrive, I will give letters of introduction to the men you approve and send them with your gift to Jerusalem. And so the Galatian church was the storehouse. The New Testament churches were the storehouses. Today, the storehouse for this church family is Oak Ridge Baptist Church. The tithe is to be brought into the storehouse, and then it is to be distributed to meet the needs and provide the ministries, provide the ministries in the church and in the community and in the world. But why? But why would you want to give the tithe to the church? Well, apart from the fact that you don't want to fall under the judgment of God for being a thief, let me offer you what I hope will be some inspiring motivations. Why would you want to give the tithe to the church? Well, number one, you want to give because you love God and are grateful to Him. You want to obey God, not because you have to. Not simply because it is a command, but you want to because you have experienced God's mercy and God's kindness granted to you. The giving of tithes and offerings is a sign of gratitude to God for what He has done in your life through Jesus Christ. It is an expression of your genuine, dynamic devotion to God. It's a way of expressing your deep appreciation and your dedication to God. Paul said it this way in 2 Corinthians 8, verses 7 to 9. But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in the grace of giving. I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, so that through His poverty you might become rich. You see, giving your tithes and your offerings is an appropriate response to the grace, to the kindness, to the blessings that you have received through the salvation that you have experienced in Jesus Christ. For your sakes, Jesus became poor. For Jesus' sake, you give your tithes and your offerings. Now, you want to offer Him your whole life, but a significant part of your life is money. And so you give money as an act of love and gratitude. Secondly, why would you want to give? You want to give because you want to avoid the grief of discontent. Take a look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. And I'm going to read verses 6 to 10. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. You see, when you establish the principle and the regular practice of giving away your money, you discover that the lust for money and the desire for more things are diminished. When you give, you are spared the grief of, and my apology to any Joneses here, but you are spared the grief of keeping up with the Joneses. You know, of spending money you do not have on things that you do not need to impress people you do not even like. One of the exciting paradoxes of God's design for His children is that the more you give away, the greater your contentment. You are spared temptation and traps. You avoid ruin and destruction. You are released from God's curse, and God pours out His blessing upon you. The greatest blessings in life are to be content, to be at peace, to be free from anxiety. Another passage of Scripture, Matthew chapter 6, reading verses 28 to 34. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Now, I've heard some Christians say that they can't tithe because they have a mortgage to pay, they have too many expenses, they've got too many debts, they've got too many investments, they've got too many financial obligations. Well, I wonder, how's that working out for you? I would be pretty certain that if those are the reasons or excuses that you give for not tithing, I would be pretty certain that your life is full of anxiety and that peace and joy are not easily experienced. Instead of running after all the material things of the world, start tithing, and you will experience God taking care of your needs and filling you with peace and contentment and joy. Now, the third reason that you would want to give is that giving releases joy within. I want you to consider the promise of Proverbs, verse 11, or chapter 11, verses 24 and 25. There it says, one man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Many other proverbs could be quoted, but this one reminds us that when you give freely, abundantly, when you refresh others, you will be refreshed. You will experience joy within your own life. Now, I don't often go to non-Christian quotes or sources, but I have to give you this one from the renowned psychiatrist Carl Menninger, who says that, and I quote, generous people are rarely mentally ill. Misers are miserable, whereas the generous are joyful. He has discovered what the Bible teaches over and over again. Okay, number four. Why would you want to bring your tithes into the storehouse? You want to give because giving is a reminder that God is actually the rightful owner of everything you have, and you are only his steward. Psalm 24, verse 1 declares, the earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Everything. Everything, including your life, belongs to God. In Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30, we read, "A tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord." So the Bible teaches that everything belongs to God, including the tithe. Then, in Deuteronomy 8, verses 17 and 18, we're given a rather significant reminder and a caution. This is what it says. "You may say to yourself, 'My power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me.' But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms His covenant which He swore to your forefathers as it is today." Because God owns everything, and He is the one who gives us the ability to earn wealth, we must be good stewards. Now, would you please turn ahead in Matthew a few pages to Matthew 25. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 14. "Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. 'Master,' he said, 'you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness.' The man with the 2 talents also came. 'Master,' he said, 'you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness.' Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. 'Master,' he said, 'I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. And see, here is what belongs to you.' His master replied, 'You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have abundance. Whoever does not have even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" The point of the parable is that you are only a steward of God's resources. He entrusts them into your care to be used for His purposes. And when you use God's money to do God's will and do God's work, then you experience commendation. You experience reward. You experience greater opportunities. You experience happiness. When you use God's resources to do God's will. So in addition to giving because you want to be a good steward, because you want to recognize that God is actually the owner and He just loans it to you. In addition to that, number five, you want to give because giving reveals and strengthens your trust in God. Listen to 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 to 10. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, He has scattered abroad His gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now, He who supplies the seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You see, when you give, you are putting your trust in God, and God honors that trust by supplying and increasing your store of seed and enlarging the harvest of your righteousness. And this blessing helps to nurture and increase your trust so that you give more. And then God honors and blesses that trust even more. And the circle of joyful trusting, giving, and blessing keeps repeating over and over, taking you into deeper and more exciting adventures of trusting and giving and blessing. It's the train that just keeps on going. By giving, your trust in God will continue to grow and His blessings will continue to grow in your life. Number six, you want to give because giving brings glory to God. Again from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 12 to 14. This service that you perform, this service of giving, is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. You see, we were created to bring glory to God. And by being obedient in giving of our tithes and offerings, God is glorified, and other people will praise God because they have benefited from your giving. Number seven, you want to give Because 90% with God is more than 100% without God. Now you want to think about that for a moment. 90% with God is always more than 100% without God. In Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10, we are told to honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits, that means the tithes, of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. Acts 20, verse 35 states, the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You see, when you give the tithe, and hopefully you will grow into the desire to give many offerings above the tithe, you soon discover that God's presence and his blessing is far better and far more abundant in your life than when in disobedience you keep 100% for yourself. And you subsequently lose out on the presence and the blessings of God. God withholds his blessings when his children are disobedient. That is why 90% with God is far superior, a life of obedience, than 100% without God, a life of disobedience. One final reason you want to give. You want to give because you want to invest in eternity. When you give your tithes and offerings, you are not only investing in present blessings and contentment and needs being met and so on, but you are also investing in your future blessings in God's presence. Matthew 6, verses 19 to 21 encourages us by saying, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So you want to give because you want to invest in eternity. Now, do you remember Jesus' words to the young man in Matthew 19? He said, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sad. Do you remember why he went away sad? Because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you the truth. It is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Now, is there any chance to remember Jesus' words to a certain ruler in Luke 18? He said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. When he heard this, he became very sad because, why did he become very sad? Because he was a man of great wealth. And Jesus looked at him and said, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Now I wonder, would you be surprised or maybe even grieved if Jesus told you to sell everything that you possess today and give it all away? If Jesus spoke to you like he spoke to the young man in Matthew 19 or the ruler in Luke 18, and he said, go and sell everything that you own and give it to the poor, would you do it? Now, he may tell some of us to do that. But so far as I know, he has not. All he has said to us is that we are to give away our tithes and offerings. He's not said sell everything you have and give it all away, but he has said start by giving away 10% and move on towards being more generous and give additional offerings. Now think about it. This is certainly less difficult and less demanding than him coming and saying you must give it all away. And so why not? Why not join in the adventure of tithing? Why not begin giving away 10%? Why not begin at the easy end of expectations? Why not do this? Because really, you have nothing to lose, but you have very much to gain, not only in this life, but in eternity. You see, God would say to us again today, just as he has throughout the scriptures, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. If we will obey God, if we will test God, if we will trust God, if we will love God and give the tithe and be generous with additional offerings, then God will commit himself to blessing us, to taking care of us, to opening up the floodgates of blessing. Now that is the adventure that I have personally been on and enjoying for over 50 years with absolutely no regret. And I want to invite you to join me in that ongoing adventure. Let's pray. Father God, I recognize that for some of us, this may be new teaching. And if it is, would you help us to understand it well and to sense excitement about doing what you have asked us to do? For some of us, this may be old teaching, but ignored teaching. Would you encourage and challenge us to rise to the opportunity to be obedient, follow this teaching, and express our love and gratitude to you? And would you, God, in response to your word, by your Spirit, challenge each one of us with our own lifestyles and what we can, what we should do to become more generous and to move beyond a tithe and to share our abundance through additional offerings, to expand the ministry within our church family, in our city, and around the world. We give you thanks for your blessings and your care. We look forward to this adventure as we move forward. Thank you for your grace and your kindness. I give you thanks in the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you please stand and we'll sing Praise God from whom all blessings, and you certainly have many blessings for which to give thanks.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him above in heaven below. Praise Father, Son, and Holy
Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Please be seated. Let me encourage you to spend some time in the side room with refreshments and enjoy some fellowship with one another.